The Rick Emerson Show coming up at 3. Like us, Donna Mike. Did we all listen to Donna Mike last night?
No, no. Did you hear it?
I did. I didn't listen to the whole thing, but I listened to enough. So I guess the deal is that this is what Don said last night. So I guess, because in 7 weeks they were off. So Donna Mike came back last night after 7 weeks. And I guess when they walked off after all those technical problems, I guess that Don did quit. That's kind of the way he told the story, that Don Geronimo quit the show. Even though he has a couple years left in his contract, I guess he just quit, walked, said, F this, I'm done. Because he was feeling frustrated and unhappy with whatever, the station, or the company, or the show or something. And then I guess he said he was also, he realized he was still just not finished dealing with all of the Frida stuff because his wife had died. And it kind of came to a head and he was like, screw this, I'm done, I'm quitting, I'm, you know, I got money so I don't need to do this job anymore, I'm out of here. And that's why, and it took him a long time to get him to come back. And by that time it was already the end of the year and they were like, well, screw it, we'll just stay off the rest of the year. So he apparently agreed to finish out the rest of his contract, which is the end of 2008. So I guess they're back for at least another couple of years. But he did quit, so it was kind of over there for a while. Rick, how the hell could you be tired of Jessica Alba anything? Are you tired of the sun? Tired of breathing the cool, sweet air of life? Tired of waking each morning to another bright new day? Are you, Rick Emerson, tired of living? One cannot be tired of Jessica Alba unless you answered yes to each and every one of these questions. Also, Stormer make a great Wonder Woman. No, I'm not tired of Jessica Alba. I just think that, I think that she gets dream cast in everything by a lot of guys who just think she's hot, which she is. She can't really act as such. But I think that the guys find her hot, and so every time a movie role for anything is open, they're like, Jessica Alba. It's because they're just so desperately wanting to see her on screen. So, blah, 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 blah. Ladies and gentlemen, yada da blah, 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 da blah, 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 derp a derp, Tim Riley.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Looks like the ads for the Rocky movie is getting smaller.
Really?
Yeah. A little tiny ad in the paper. It says, go see it.
Pretty soon it'll just be a stamp on the back.
That comes from Alicia Tyler, who's a guest critic.
Oh.
On some show.
What a ringing endorsement. Go see it.
From a guest critic.
Delta, we get you there.
Rocky Balboa.
It's a great film, though. You really, I really can't recommend it enough.
The Departed has a big ad.
You know, I know, I'm blah, 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 Departed, derp a derp.
I just, why is Brad Pitt crying on a payphone? Has he run out of change?
Oh, is this the New York Times?
Yeah.
Okay, so this is the upcoming, I don't know what that new Brad Pitt film is.
It's Babel.
You know what looks interesting is that Children of Men movie. Children of Men, which is the new Alfonso Cuarón film, or whatever the hell his name is. That looks interesting. But again, I really can't recommend The Good Shepherd enough. It's a great film.
First, I thought it was a Christmas movie because I wasn't sure.
The Good Shepherd?
Yeah.
I didn't want to see it. It was actually, well, here's why. Here's why we went to see it. Because Lara picked it by default because she didn't really want to see that so much as she just wanted to go to Cinetopia. Because I told her how Cinetopia is the finest theater anywhere. And she's like, well, let's go to Cinetopia. And I'm like, well, baby, there's nothing playing there that I want to see. I don't want to see The Pursuit of You. I will never see The Pursuit of Happiness. You can't make me. And the only thing playing there, it was like, really, it was like,
Children of Men.
It was the saddest process of elimination where, like, Good Shepherd was the only thing there that I actively didn't hate. And I'm like, well, it's a spy film, honey. You don't want to see a spy film. And she's like, well, I just want to see Cinetopia. And the experience was great, of course, because you go there and they got the big seats and they bring you wine and whatever. And then we saw Good Shepherd, which turned out to be really good. So, yeah, Children of Men looks interesting.
It is the Blade Runner for the 21st century, according to Kenneth Turan, whoever he is, or L.A. Times.
L.A. Times, yeah. So I'm told. You know, and Blood Diamond is, I'm going to wait on to see that on DVD. I've decided not to go see that in the theater.
So important Britney news here, so this must be a Britney watch.
Here's your Britney watch for Wednesday on the Rick Emerson Radio Program.
I think I did it again.
Is Britney heading for rehab? The singer reportedly checked into an exclusive spa for some R&R, and some are wondering if the third R is for rehab. Meanwhile, Britney has commissioned a nude portrait of herself. She is finally back in shape, so she claims, following the birth of her second son, Jaden, and is so proud of her figure she wants it immortalized in a painting. Brittany's getting in better and better shape, says a source, since she split with Kevin and wants her body immortalized in a portrait.
I don't. How goddamn vain do you have to be? Let me just say this.
Now, she's been rehearsing since she's been pictured four times not wearing any undergarments.
Here's the thing. I understand. Now, I would never do this because I'm flabby and hideous. So, I wouldn't do this. I do understand. How do I put this? I know someone. I won't say who this is. I may have revealed this before and I've given the person's name, but I won't do it this time.
Mr. X.
I know someone. I know someone who is very into body maintenance, working out, blah, blah, blah. And this person, I believe, is having something similar done. Is having, I'm not sure whether it's a photograph, like some really arty photographs, and no face. It's neck down only. This person is having, I couldn't remember if it was a painting or whether it was really nice photographs, but this person is having some very tasteful, as you're required to say, nude photographs, I think, done of themselves in various poses.
Something artistic.
Something, so they claim, artistic because blah, blah, blah. Proud of my body, put a lot of work into it. Someday when I'm 80, want to look back and see what great shape I was in. Right. This person, who I know, is doing this, is having that done.
Tattoo refrigerator door.
Yes. So, someday, yes. So, someday when you're old and covered with veins, you can say, look, wasn't I hot? So, this person I know is having that done. Now, but here's the thing, is this person is not a celebrity in any way, this person that I'm referring to. How vain do you have to be Britney Spears to get photo? How many hundreds of thousands of hours of film are there of you already photographed? I mean, you're never going to look any better than you did in the Hit Me One More Time video. So, like, what is the possible reason for herself, for getting a picture done of herself now? That you do that when you're someone that doesn't already have 9 million photographs of you in I'm done. I'm done talking about it.
Just stupid. That's our Britney watch. What did I...
Your Britney watch. Get out of my sight.
Before you go, there's something I want you to have.
See, my problem is this.
I really have toyed with getting rid of the Britney watch. I really have. Or at least not getting rid of it, but retiring it and just no longer paying special attention to Britney news. I really have
toyed.
She'll
be gone before you know it.
Well, bring it out when she's dead. I mean, how long can that be? I mean, I really have toyed with just, you know, just taking it out of rotation for a while and just not doing a lot of Britney news. Because who cares?
A 21-year-old woman was hospitalized for intoxication over the weekend after continually providing wrong answers during a game of Trivial Pursuit.
Yeah.
Where participants drank alcohol and did drugs if they answered incorrectly.
Was this was this in the Hollywood District by chance?
Let's see here.
Were the participants' names Aaron and Jen?
Oh, this is in the Chicago area.
Oh, then no, because that's almost exactly how I spent my New Year's Eve, by the way, was with my wife, the lovely Laura. Aaron, Geek in the City, Duran, his wife Jen, Diana, and her man, and our friend Kat, sitting at Aaron's apartment, everyone blind drunk playing Trivial Pursuit and Magic the Gathering.
That sounds delightful.
And so drunk we couldn't even play the Trivial Pursuit game. It was just sitting around pulling cards out of boxes, reading the questions aloud, and then yelling at each other about the answers while drinking. That was it.
Well, Flarisha Cooper and Bridget Pierce were playing the 2006 current events version of Trivial Pursuit around 6:30 p.m. If a player provided an incorrect answer, that person would have to take a shot of E&G brandy and take a hit off a cannabis blunt. I'm not sure what that is. Some sort of potent cigarette, I suppose. Cooper, who's 21, who was the yellow piece, continually provided wrong answers, resulting in over-intoxication. She was taken to Norwegian American Hospital, where she's listed in good condition. The incident was an accident, according to police reports.
All right. And by the way, Wonder Woman doesn't age. She was made out of clay on the island of Themyscira, blah, 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 blah. All right. We should probably have Dennis Pitzenbarger come in.
I believe
here,
so. Let's usher him in.
Because he's now like 25 hours late.
Well, should we break and then bring him on?
Let's break, and then we'll have a final visit to the Ministry of Truth for the top of the hour. We'll come back with Dennis Pitzenbarger after this. It's the Rick Emerson radio program. It's 503-733-2970. Stay there. We are back after this. Don't go anywhere. Radio It's the Rick Emerson radio program. 503-733-2970. Without further notice, or further whatever you say, ado. God damn it. I was speaking, me talk pretty early on, no, now talk pretty good. Welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show. I have the Fuel theme here somewhere, but I don't know where it went.
It don't matter.
From the Fuel Show, Saturdays 9 to 11, our good friend Dennis Bitzenbarger. Hello.
My gosh.
How are you?
I'm doing well. I had, as just a spectacular New Year's Day and weekend, it sounds like everybody else had.
Yeah, no, we pretty much, all the good that we had through the year, that pretty much was all spent. We cashed that check in 1 week at the end of it. This is a bad final 2 weeks of the year. 2006 was great. It went out poorly.
Well, that's okay. I seem to escaped everything. My unfortunate wife decided to get bronchitis. Then my daughter was sick. So I watch TV and clean the garage.
See, I wish I'd been able to do that. And no disrespect to my wife, who I love, but she was feeling, you know, like, well, it's New Year's, we got to do something. It's Christmas, we got to do something. We got to go out, we got to have fun, we got to do whatever. And and I was just like, I was just not in the mood. I was just like, come on, fine, let's go. And so, and she took me to Seattle, which was great. I just didn't feel like I could enjoy it. I basically just sat in the hotel and we just lived on room service for like 3 days and watched The Sound of Music and did nothing.
It's so hard to get in the mood when you're not in the mood. My totally. Wife is like that.
Be happy.
Yes. Oh, my wife, you know.
Be social.
She plans these nights out where it's like, we're going to go here, we'll have some fun, we'll do this. And I just got done working a 65-hour week, and I'll look at her, and it's like Friday night, and I'm like, honey, I can't say no. You don't say no.
No.
You just go along with the punches and put on that grim smile.
I know, and I'm making it sound like I have to go on a death march or something, which is just trying to get me to go to dinner. You know, but it's like, you know, come on, let's go out to dinner. No, it's just the worst thing ever. I can't bear the horror. And she's like, I'm just trying to take you out to dinner, and you dick, you know, and and we ended up like on Christmas Eve, I think it was, we ended up going to Ruth's Chris, and which is, you know,
a nice place.
I mean,
but even the 10-minute wait makes you want to stick a steak knife into someone's head.
And it's like, and we're doing that, and I got kind of a weakness for that place. I mean, and you know, in Portland, there's a lot of other places, a lot of local places, especially that are great. But I mean, if you're in like a city that I like, Seattle, which I kind of know, but I don't know Seattle like the back of my hand or anything. And if I'm in a city that I don't necessarily know all that well, that's a place that you can always go. And you know what? It's all and you're always going to have great food. It's always going to be, you know, it's always going to be wonderful. But we go there, and I ended up having a great time. Of course, you know, it was great. It was relaxing and whatever. But the fight for her to get me there. And I'm just literally, it's like 4 p.m, and I've been in the hotel room all morning, laying on the bed, not wanting to move. And the fight for her to, like, peel me off the bed and get me out the door to a restaurant.
Well, sure, it turns into a promo for a station promo. You haven't been in Rick's life until you've heard, I don't want to leave the room.
Totally. She's like, and, you know, and it's such a retarded argument when you think about it. This is really, really why we do need wives around. I mean, it really is true. Because I'm just like, leave me alone. I'm going to sit in blackness and depression and despair. And it's this idiotic argument where my wife is trying to convince me to go out for like a really great, fantastic meal and a walk around a beautiful city with the woman I love and a great time and a fantastic, you know, and to enjoy the holiday season and all of that. And I'm resisting.
And all you're doing is sitting there trying to find pay-per-view music that has to, do they have The Cure?
Yeah. Just sitting there going, shut up. I'm watching Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, woman. Leave me alone.
So. Well, I have some extra house paint. I thought maybe we could go over and I guess maybe finish or improve on the mural that has been left on Sarah's car.
I think it's gone. I think Davey got rid of it. Davey Peoples.
Yeah, Davey was able to get it off.
Davey
with some
buffed it right out.
Ethopropanol. I don't know.
Some stuff.
Isopropanol. Something like that.
Acetone.
It didn't take off any of the paint of the car's paint. It just took off all the spray paint.
Oh, right on.
He's a gearhead though.
Oh yeah. You know. Yeah. I got chemicals where we could have taken the paint off too, but. I just thought maybe we could embrace the mural that someone... And I heard it was like an attempt at the pentagram, right? And
then anarchy symbol.
Oh, okay.
But it was done badly. It was like an A in a circle. So it was almost like the scarlet letter thing, but of course there'd be no reason for that. So it's like, it's just some idiot that didn't know how to make the anarchy symbol. So it just made no sense at all.
That's even worse. I mean, if you're going to do this... That's like flipping someone off with your ring finger.
I know. It doesn't make any sense at all. Chris, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello. Chris.
I know you're there. Chris. Ann
been going once.
Oh.
Chris, can you turn up your radio?
See, that's puzzling because, like, you know that they're there.
Well, you can hear the stuff in the background, the ambient noise.
John, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, Rick. Hey. I want to ask you about Cinetopia.
Yeah.
I've been there with my lovely bride, and the most fantastic movie theater, adult movie theater, not adult like bad adult, but
No, it's a theater for grown-ups. It's for grown-ups, yeah.
Have you been there? I mean, when did you guys go there?
Are you talking about Cinetopia?
Yeah.
I should say, by the way, that I am not a paid endorser for Cinetopia. I'm simply, although I really ought to be demanding that they advertise, I'd be getting some money to backbill them for this. I've gone there in the past. I went there to see Superman Returns, and then my wife and I went there on Sunday to see The Good Shepherd. So we went there this last weekend.
Did you go? Were you in the couch theater or the regular theater?
The couch theater, the living room, they call it.
Did you see the preview? Now, and I can't find any information about it, but it's like a Spartacus type movie. It's a preview about like the Romans or something like that, and it was the most surreal. We went there to see Apocalypto.
Oh, you're talking about that trailer. What is it? It's called 909 or 309 or...
Apocalypto, yeah, that's it.
903, yeah, I know what you're talking about. I don't know a whole lot about the movie, but that is probably the best trailer I have seen in like 5 years.
So with our first experience at Cinetopia, so
yeah.
We see this horribly bloody movie that really wasn't that bloody, but
yeah.
We saw that thing. We were like, okay, we can leave now, because that was by far... You're not going to... When does that come out? We'll have to buy tickets for that,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it's one of the best trailers I've ever seen. I forget what it's called. It's like 903 or 909 or some crap. But it is an amazing trailer. If the movie's like one-tenth that good.
Oh, my God.
I'll find it and post it on the web so people can see it. I'll put it in my...
The other thing is, have you seen the previews for this movie with Entourage, Jeremy What's-His-Face?
Jeremy Piven, no.
It's called Blackjack, Ace of Spades, or... Blackjack.
Now I got nothing.
It really looks kind of like a Matrix-y Hitman movie. That's on our top 10. Now we've got a list of movies to see only at Cinetopia.
Yeah, no, it's a great, but we're kind of losing your phone, John, so I apologize. We've got to kind of cut it short here. We're losing your phone.
I'm sorry, I've seen the preview for that.
I can't remember the name of it. I just saw
it. Something like that, but yeah, it's like, you know, a Braveheart bore you? Troy, not enough bloodshed? Come on down and see.
Right.
But yeah, it looks very vivid. It looks. I'm just hoping that they do it like they did Troy. Troy, when they made that movie, they had thousands and thousands of extras, and that's what made the movie so real. This movie, from the promo, looks very CGI.
It does.
I mean, I got nothing against CGI because it's just taken steps so far in the future.
Yeah.
The way that Troy was done with so many real extras.
Well, eye can spot the real thing. That's why all the last three Star Wars films are terrible, because your eye can spot when it's crap, when it's fake.
Yeah,
I'd rather
have little models.
Totally.
That to me seems like a real.
It's a real thing. I don't think it's an age thing either. I've talked to younger people who feel the same way. Your eye can spot when something's real, and your eye can spot when something's fake. I think kids probably even more so. They can spot bad CGI. Yeah. Hey, so but since you're here, and of course, so Sarah's car got defaced, and then of course you know that the day that I left for Christmas vacation, my truck was stolen again.
I'll give you like $10 for that.
And amazingly enough, when we bought the truck, they didn't mention that to us. They didn't go, by the way, this is going to be stolen 3 times in the next year. Have fun.
I don't know if anybody's ever told you this, Rick, but in the mid '80s, around that genre of your Toyota, they only made like 8 keys, and it fits everything. In fact, the key to my 2006 Subaru I'm driving this week would probably start it as well.
A butter knife would probably start.
Well, a toothbrush might do it. You know, we were making a joke over the First Avenue that I picked up a toothbrush and said, this is the door key.
Thank you.
So, I mean, I'm just saying,
what
you need to do is take that truck, give it to me and the fuel show, let me paint it up as the Rick Emerson, you know, the special Rick Emerson truck, and then we put it on eBay, you take that money, and you give it to charity.
Seriously, I mentioned this story the other day, but it's like, I we're getting ready to leave, and I'm like, I'm laying in bed, at my house, and I'm just like, in Southeast, I'm like, it's great, can't wait for vacation, leave all the stress behind, and Laura Wackerson was like,
well, you said
truck stolen again.
Well, you said Southeast.
Yeah.
I had a customer of mine to tell me that they sent me a $150 pair of driving shoes for Christmas. He goes, didn't you get those shoes?
It's not just a Southeast thing. It's not, because the second time it was stolen was from her work, which is a federal building with its own police force that is not in Southeast.
That's because the people from Southeast drive over there.
They take the tram.
I mean, they walk up to the tram.
Let us take the tram to the hill and steal trucks there.
Well, if they run out of gas, they can go down the hill.
Yeah, it's so... So, screw that. I'm getting rid of that thing.
I don't blame you. I mean, it's just...
It's just absurd.
It's like a Jeep. It's like a Jeep. You have to understand.
And we haven't even gotten it back yet. That's the other thing. Because they've apparently...
You don't even know if you'll get it back.
That's the thing. Is the last couple of times, like 3-4 days, because they would drive it until it runs out of gas, and then they dump it, and they steal another one. Whatever. So it's like a poor comfort, but at least you're like, okay, well, we'll get it back. It's been a couple weeks now, and it's like, I know that they cut back recently the auto theft division, manpower-wise. So the cop told me, he's like, well, they cut us back. It'll be like three times as long before you see it.
I remember someone calling about how, they. I think it was yesterday or the day before, offering about how between the delivery man and the mailman, yeah. I mean, you've got more police coverage. Think of it this way. It could be a monetary advantage because... The people who stole it right now are probably hiding bags of cocaine in it right now.
If I get it back right now, I can triple my money.
There's a way that don't let it go back too early. Don't sell it too quick. Search it out. Have a dog sniffer. You know, you go in there. There could be a big bag of heroin in the back you could sell. Buy another car. Something that doesn't
the
get
views
stolen.
Of Dennis Pitzenbarger represent the views of CBS Radio. Portland.
No, they don't. No.
Let's see. Kevin, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, Rick.
Kevin.
That 300 trailer
yeah.
is so good, it almost makes me want to never see the movie.
300 is the name of it, yeah.
Because you're looking at it and it's just like, how can the movie live up to this?
Totally.
How can it possibly beat this? That whole bit about, the thousand armies of the Persian Empire come down upon you.
Yeah.
And that is what brought out the sun.
No, you're right.
Fight in the shade.
There's no way that the movie can be as good as the trailer. You're right, yeah.
But all the same, I'm going to be there opening day. I'm just going to be sitting there waiting to be blown out of my chair. And if it doesn't happen, well, you know, I've always got that trailer.
And I've got some people saying this. Some people saying it's based on a Frank Miller graphic novel.
Yeah,
and they
yeah.
say that the CGI look is intentional because the movie is supposed to have a dreamlike quality, or the trailer is. So
that's
who knows?
Right.
All right.
I've been wanting to get that comic book, but it's like $30.
Yeah, excellent. All right, thank you, sir.
Okay.
All right, that's Kevin. Let's get one more here before the break. Brad, hello, sir.
Hello, Rick.
Hey.
I had a question. Is there any correct way to do the anarchy symbol? I thought that was Paul's idea about anarchy. There's no rules, unless you know rules. You're not the anarchy police, are you?
No, honestly. I believe there is an accepted way to spray paint the anarchy symbol, though. I know that's ironic, but yes, I believe there is one.
It's not my way to keep your laws out of my spray paint can. But not that it was my spray paint can.
Okay. And, you know, it's the darndest thing. We seem to be, yeah.
Can you turn your radio off?
No, I'm sorry. We seem to be losing, yeah. I like things on cars that just screw with people, though. I was telling Laura this. I'm going to get a bumper sticker that says, keep your lawn off my body. Because, you know, there's all the keep your laws off my body ones. And I just want to get one that says, keep your lawn off my body. Just, and then never explain it. Never tell anybody what it means.
Okay.
I don't know what it means.
It doesn't mean anything. James, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Hey, Rick, is it a 1985 4Runner?
I think so.
If it's a 1985 4Runner, that's actually worth $3,000 or $4,000. It's the last year of the straight axle. First year with fuel injection. All the off-road kids want them.
Dennis is
so
saying
you
you're wrong.
Back,
Dennis is saying you're wrong about that.
I'm just saying, I thought it was 80.
This is on crack.
Oh!
Well, that too, but 85 was the first year of the Independent Front.
It's 86.
No, you're an idiot, Dennis. I could be wrong, I've known.
I know he has a car show and all, but. Anyways, thank you.
Hold on. Now I want to know. Now, Dennis, you say that it's... I don't even know what we're talking about. I just know that there's a fight.
It's a fight. We're going to
be in the middle of it.
In the soccer field in about an hour. It is my understanding that he is 1 year off. That it was 84 was the last year of the straight axle.
James?
And the next year is when they went to the independent.
What say you, James?
He's completely wrong. I don't need to argue with him at all.
No, au contraire.
I'm a dumb hick from Northern California. We used to wheel the Rubicon all the time. The 85 is the year. That's the year all the kids want.
He could very well be right. I'll just, you know, hey, yeah. I could see that he's right.
Now, I hate to give him anything, but they did probably start putting a few out. I don't know. But I just know that 85, you look underneath the front end, if you've got a straight axle instead of the A-arm suspension, it's worth a few bucks.
Well, I'll have somebody look at it if I ever see it again.
Yeah, hopefully you see it again. Hopefully they're not right now tearing parts off of it to replace the independent front suspension on their 86.
Why you gotta hate, huh? Why you gotta be a hater?
I'm sorry, I don't mean to. Go to break.
All right,
hey, love you. Catch you on Saturday.
Done and done. Back after this, it's the Rick Emerson Radio Program. The saddest part of the broadcasting day, the final segment of the Rick Emerson Show. Rick, Mork equals the Great Gazoo. Fantastic. You know, did the voice of the Great Gazoo, Tim Riley?
I don't know.
Harvey Korman.
Oh.
503-733-2970. That's the number. Don't call. You can call tomorrow or at another time. Ladies and gentlemen, let us pay a visit to the Ministry of Truth.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
They're all gone. The last of the nerve gas shells have been destroyed at Umatilla. It happened this afternoon. They've destroyed the last of more than 14,000 8-inch diameter sarin nerve agent projectiles. Since September 2004, when it began destroying chemical munitions, the facility has disposed of more than 108,000 rockets, bombs, containers, and 8-inch projectiles. Oh, by the way, This comprises only about 24% of the tonnage originally stockpiled. So where's the rest of it? It says they're all done, but it only says this is 24%. So who's lying? Where's the other?
The rest have been given out in lieu of pocket watches at retirement parties.
To children.
Yeah. Merry Christmas. Have some sarin.
Global positioning system technology is turning up more and more in places like watches and cell phones. But a Miami company that has used the technology to develop shoes that can be located anywhere in the world is now putting those in.
You know, it won't work. Stupid people won't wear them.
Mm-hmm.
They'll offer to sell them and the stupid people will say no.
Well, the argument is you can't leave the house without your shoes. The design allows wearers to press a hidden button to send out a distress signal. This technology is planned to hit stores in March for a price of... Would you pay $350 for a pair of shoes?
No, but I know some people who would now.
I think anyone who climbs certain mountains or takes certain country roads...
That's what I'm saying.
...will be required to at least rent them before gaining entrance.
They say you can't protect stupid people from themselves. They'll find a way to die.
They all end up here for some reason. Donald Trump has been named the 2006 most annoying money personality.
Yeah.
According to an AOL user poll, 44% of those surveyed gave Trump the honor. He was followed by TV personalities Susie Orman and Jim Cramer and billionaire Mark Cuban.
I'm canceled! Let me do a quick survey around the room. Sarah Dillon, where do you come down on the big Donald Trump-Rosie O'Donnell battle? Go.
Oh, Rosie.
Dennis?
You know it's Donald.
Tim?
It's a big publicity stunt.
Screw them. Death to them both. I come down on Rosie's side. And it's interesting because I don't really like her.
Well, Donald Trump is just like saying, like, you're fat, you're ugly.
Big stupid head. Yeah, totally. And that's the thing is she totally goes right for the specifics. And he's just like, and you're a fat whale. Like, that's his big, and it's like.
I love it, though, because there are all those naked pictures coming out of his wife that he didn't know existed.
Oh, I thought you said of Rosie.
No.
They do nothing.
After Donald Trump had said he would send his wife over to steal away Rosie O'Donnell's girlfriend, then bam, a week later, naked pictures of his wife on the internet.
My eye bleach. Really? Is she hot?
Oh, yeah, you've seen her. She's really, she's young
Donald Trump.
Pretty.
I guess that following Likas is law. Yeah. Well, that's great. Yeah, well, there you go. Hey, is Rosie O'Donnell's girlfriend cute? Because figuring...
Well,
look at Rosie.
Rosie, I don't think she could have done much better.
You know the woman who played...
Bam! Ladies and gentlemen,
Tim Riley. Oh, I know.
You know the woman that plays the mom in...
Yeah.
Oh, what's that black and white movie? With Tobey Maguire and...
Pleasantville.
The woman that plays the mom?
Joan Allen?
Yeah, she looks like her, except blonde.
Younger?
The same age.
Joan Allen's cute. I like Joan Allen. I'm a Joan Allen fan.
All right.
Well, I'm just figuring, if you figure there's a yin and a yang, you look at Rosie O'Donnell and you think that maybe their girlfriend's hot. I'm just saying, it's like an Ellen Porsche kind of a thing.
That's right where I was going to go.
You know what I'm talking about.
Oh, by the way, Toyota 4Runners were independent suspension in 1985.
Oh, really? Let's take some calls here.
Oh, God.
Hey, Cal, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hello.
Hey, what's up?
I'm calling about Dennis is wrong.
Really? Exactly. What is he wrong about again?
And thank you for being happy about it.
84, first year of the 4Runner. 85, last year of Solid for an Axle. First year of Fuel Injection.
Maybe we should give you the fuel show.
Yes, I should.
Yeah.
I am your Polish P1, buddy.
Really? That's a great laugh, by the way. Thank you, sir.
Excellent.
All right. No, look, I thought Johnny Mathis was white. You know, what am I?
Hey, man. I like the way that they, you know, like, I say something that could be incorrect on this show, which I admit I'm wrong. I'm sorry. I, you know, hey, I can't stuff every bit of knowledge in my head. It's just not really, you know, it's like, it's a coin of phrase. It's like putting a two barrel on a big blow.
I suspected that you might have been incorrect because that other guy, James, I think his name was, he was like so confident. He was like, no, nope, Dennis is wrong. Now let me tell you a few other things. Like, he didn't even want to dwell. That's how confident he was. Like, he was all ready to move on.
Oh, no, but, so, you know, we say call in at like 9:15 in the morning on Saturday.
Yeah. Well, you know.
I can only strive to be you.
We have a sort of captive audience. They're just stuck delivering things and, you know. They're there. They're enslaved by the man. You know.
Well, I think what it is usually because that guy would have been working on his 4Runner, 1985, with the straight axle and the fuel injection.
So,
in his garage on Saturday morning, and then just turned at the radio and said, "You're an idiot," and then not called.
No,
in.
He would have turned off. I'm not listening to this factually inaccurate show anymore. Clearly, this program doesn't know what it's talking about. I will now listen to Albanian folk hymns. Speaking of which, what is coming up on the Fantabulous Fuel Show this weekend?
Just kind of the standard show this weekend. Going to wrap up a few industry things, and we're also going to do some preview about Daytona and the NASCAR season. The week after, we will have Mimo Gidley, a very renowned go-kart.
Is that a person's name, really? Mimo Gidley?
Mimo Gidley will be on the show. I know everybody makes fun of it. He's a great race car driver. He'll be on next week. And actually, this Sunday is the first of the new TV shows with the new set. So I'm definitely looking forward to that. We did something really cool. I don't know if it's a big secret in TV land. You said you had done it with Bigger Than Jesus with the 24 frames, and it makes it look like it's real film, even though it isn't. And it's just a new set, new show, new content, so it looks a lot better. And I can only hope that you tune in, and I make sure that. See, the nice thing about TV versus radio, whatever that gentleman's name was, is I check my facts after I check it again, and then I can always just retake it.
The miracle of post-production. Where the hell is my,
Postman is the person in your neighborhood.
Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show, Mailman Chris.
How are you?
What's up, brother man?
Hey, you know, this has been the best show.
It really has. Yeah, you're right about that.
You put my 80s TV trivia knowledge to the test.
Dennis may have gotten the 4Runner thing, but I was schooled a few times on TV shows today. There was thought of, you know, The Man from Atlantis is not out on DVD, by the way, for those who are wondering about that, just in case anybody's curious.
And as a side note, the note about the Green Hornet being the grandnephew of the Lone Ranger.
Yes.
They were all the same producers when they were radio shows.
Oh, really? Oh, that makes sense, then.
Including one that is rumored to be a distant relative, and that's Sergeant Preston of the Yukon. Also the same producers.
God. Never mind. You know when you go to clean your computer desktop sometimes? Like, you're there, and you can barely see the Jessica Alba wallpaper in the back, and you decide, it's time to clean these 10,000 icons off my desktop. And you're cleaning the desktop on your computer, and it's like JPEGs and folders and cute little audio sounders and just crap you don't even remember why you downloaded it, and just you'll click on it and it's just a picture of somebody's butt, and you're like, what is this doing on my, not even a good butt, a bad butt, and you're like, why do I have this? That's what the brains of myself and the audience and Dennis and everybody on the show is like. We're all like a cluttered computer desktop with just random files just sitting there waiting to be used.
Yes, yes, we are. And speaking of clutter, you teased 8 things today. Worst story ever.
Did I tease 8 things, really?
You did. You said you'd get a recap of yesterday, and I'm going to give that to you because you touched on them a little, but you didn't really. But worst story ever, didn't get it.
Oh,
you said
no.
You had 9 cannibal watches. You think you could have got at least one.
And the cannibal watch, and especially because the worst story ever is a cannibal watch. So, no, tomorrow for that.
Tara Reid.
No, I didn't get to that either.
Indiana Jones.
We did. No, we did. We talked about Indiana Jones at the top of the show.
A little bit.
But you didn't specify, you know, what the story was.
I don't know that we had. Well, I mean, we don't know the actual script.
But we talked
about it, and Aaron actually
talked about how the script was approved. Okay.
And Aaron gave the start date for it. Aaron gave the date of production.
Okay, I'll give you that.
Thank you, sir.
And then Lisa, Dennis, and Sarah's auto. So you got those. So you got four. Well, that puts you at five.
Oh, God damn. All
You're
right.
You're cashing in and those I'll at the end of the week, right?
I'll close up with this. Elizabeth Shue, best hoe ever.
Best what?
Best hoe ever.
Oh, no, it's true. Yeah, absolutely. There's no contest.
There's something weird about hearing Noam and Chris say hoe.
you guys are coming off a weird time. This is the first 3-day mail stoppage in like 20 years, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, I was looking it up on the calendar. It's like nobody could remember the last time you guys had 3 days off in a row. It's insane. It never happens.
Well, I mean, it hasn't. As far as I know, it hasn't happened around here. You know, in the last 30 that I'm aware of.
Yes.
Unless you count individual post offices being closed because of inclement weather.
But I mean, for 3 days.
The entire
Federal Postal Service was closed for 3 days, which never happens because it was Sunday, then New Year's, then Gerald Ford. So today must be hell day for you.
Today and tomorrow, they're going to catch us up over a couple days, and it's bad.
All right, thank you, sir.
You know,
talk to you tomorrow.
All right, there you go.
Speaking of the jumbled things, I went through my computer and I actually found an old Keehaw audio piece.
Is it the theme song?
No, it was the "Woe Is Me."
Oh yeah, gloom, despair, and agony.
That skit made me crack up so much.
Men spitting on each other. You were gone. Yeah. You know, I'm surprised that one of the wacky like cowpunk bands, one of the alt country bands, or somebody hasn't covered that. You know. That seems like something one of those guys ought to do.
I like Hee-Haw. I mean, you're talking 80s television. Obviously, because I got force-fed it by my parents.
Like in Living Color for the Toothless.
Oh, totally. As long as you were missing a buckle off of one of your stirrups.
I never really thought about that in Living Color really is like Hee-Haw. It really is. It sort of is like a direct descendant of Hee-Haw.
Bit urban.
A little bit cooler, but not much. You go back and watch In Living Color. It's like watching. Do you ever get a chance to watch any of the
that
old Arsenio?
Was pretty bad.
Yeah, it's like Arsenio. Arsenio was way ahead of his time, and I give a lot of credit, props one might say, to Arsenio for being great at a lot of things. But man, there's certain things about that show. You go back, and if you can watch his old Arsenio episodes, they're so dated and so bad.
I love the hair, the high top fade, and
Gumby?
The Z's,
the Gumby hair.
Oh,
yeah,
good Lord.
Totally.
That would be the top 100 things that you had to imagine from the 80s. Would be the hair and the colorful jackets.
Yeah, and those. Everybody looked like they were in Tony. Yeah. All right. Dennis Pittsmarger here. I'm Saturdays 9 to 11 at the Fuel Show. We want to thank CNN radio correspondents Lisa Goddard and Ed McCarthy. Coming up tomorrow, we'll have other things and merriment and amusement and whimsicality and wackiness of all kinds. The Rick Emerson Show, produced today and every day by the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dillon for AM 970 Solid State Radio. Tim Riley in the newsroom. Scotty J is our PEPA. It's the public enemy here.
Don't forget Dave Zinn.
Scotty J's in the PE. And the manager of the Rick Emerson Office East, Dave Zinn! You bastards! So, as always, don't let the bastards grind you down. Thank you for listening. Like us next. Don and Mike are back live at 7 o'clock. See you all tomorrow. Thanks for listening. Bye. It rumbles on its skin. It does this when it's full.